This is the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown.
Well, hello, leaders. Welcome to another episode of the Leadership Momentum Podcast. I'm excited that we have Pastor Ronnie Floyd as our guest today, and we'll be having a conversation about navigating different seasons in ministry. And we'll be discussing the topic from several different angles. And I'm certain that this discussion will not only equip you with good, solid handles, but also encourage you as you navigate through your current season, but also prepare for your next season in ministry, no matter what your role is there at the church. And for those of you listening in who are not leading in a church context, I am certain that you'll obviously see the principles that are discussed are very transferable to the secular marketplace as well. So I really hope this podcast is helpful, and I hope you genuinely enjoy it as well. Well, let's jump right in. Let me give you a little context into who Pastor Ronnie Floyd is, so you know the lens that he's viewing leadership through. Ronnie has been a pastor for over 40 years, and that's particularly impressive to me, as I have not even hit my 40th birthday. That's kind of crazy. Ronnie ministers to thousands of people through a lot of different methods, leveraging TV, the web, podcasts like this one, the radio, of course, speaking engagements, 20 different books, and of course, church. Since 1986, Pastor Ronnie has served as the senior pastor of Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas. And in 2016, he completed a two-year elected term as president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He also serves as the general editor of Bible Studies, Bible Studies for Life, the largest curriculum series of Lifeway resources, which, get this, is studied by 1.5 million people each and every week. That's nuts. And he's authored, like I said, 20 different books, and he just launched his weekly podcast entitled Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today. So definitely very accomplished. To say that we can really learn from this conversation is a huge understatement. I pray this conversation speaks to you in a powerful way. Here's my conversation with Pastor Ronnie Floyd. Pastor Ronnie Floyd, thank you so much for joining us on the Leadership Momentum Podcast.
Chris, I appreciate your podcast. Listen to it often and appreciate your investment in other leaders. So it's a joy to be with you today.
Oh, thanks, Ronnie. Hey, so I wanted to talk to you about seasons in ministry. You've got 40-plus years of experience when it comes to leadership and, more specifically, church leadership and seasons in ministry. And I want to kind of go, I don't know, five or six different angles on this conversation, but for me, I've only been in church ministry for about a decade, and just in only a decade, I've been able to see a little bit of the seasons that either I have endured or those that have been around me have endured. And I just want to talk about how to navigate through the seasons, because there are leaders listening in right now that either listen to this podcast, also listen to your podcast as well, that are going through each one of these seasons. And man, it would just be great. You've navigated them before. And how can we leverage the seasons, and how can we not implode during other seasons? So one of the questions I have for you is, it seems to me over, you know, 20, 30, 40 years in ministry that there is a beginning season that maybe we'll just call launch season. That's years 1 through 3, maybe. And this is not just in ministry in general, but maybe it's a role. Maybe it's your first couple years in a specific role where you're excited. You're jacked up about it. You're excited about the future. And then, of course, at the end of the, you know, you get the light at the end of the tunnel. You want to leave a legacy to whoever the next ministry director is going to be. Let's say you're a preschool director and you've been doing it for 5 years or 8 years or 10 years, and you're going to hand it off. That's kind of fun. But what I want to talk about is the in-between years. Let's say there's 20 or 30 years in your stretch, year 4 to 16, like that middle ground. Talk to that season, because you've experienced it, and just what are some of the things that are going to pop up for people emotionally and spiritually as they're in that season?
Well, thank you, Chris, and that's a powerful question, because seasons are real, And people have to understand that we go through seasons personally, we go through seasons in our family, and in the midst of that, the church that you serve goes through seasons. It's inevitable. And one of the real keys to understanding leadership and lasting leadership, influential leadership, is learning how to surf the changes of the seasons as the leader of the church. And that is very difficult to learn. And it's an art. It's an instinct. It's really a God thing with you, where God just trains you up and does it. And year four and beyond, in that middle season, really begins a lot of things. It begins that season of, if you've been really successful, other churches or ministries may recognize that and they may come after you. If it's been a rocky season, then it could be a very difficult season, because perhaps your church isn't sure whether or not you can cut it. It's also a difficult time because you're having to settle in. Nothing is new anymore. And when it's not new anymore, then if we're not careful, discontentedness will enter into our lives rather than, understanding God has me where I am and I'm all in wherever I am. And one of the things that I had to learn early on in my life in ministry is that I have to be comfortable with who I am and where I am. And it doesn't really matter whether or not any colleagues of mine are comfortable with where I am, because it's your colleagues, it's your friends, it's people who believe in you at times that can stir the pot in relationship to some of those moments where you feel and you ask those questions, well, maybe I'm not where I need to be. Maybe this place is not as good as I thought it was. And all of a sudden, when you're rocky in that, Chris, it's real hard to be effective. And so it's very important that we understand that seasons are real. It's inevitable. I don't care which leader it is. They're happening, whether they're recognizing it or not. And real longevity and effectiveness and influence in leadership is determined by that leader's ability to surf the waves of change that come in the middle of those seasons.
That's good. And I'm thinking about the leader right now who might be right in the middle of their launch season. And again, I'm not just talking about the whole entire church, those that are in, sure, maybe leading a smaller ministry. But what are some things they can do during the launch season to not put all of their emotional dependence on the role and the excitement and the energy, but to kind of stabilize that on where their focus really needs to be, even during such a great season, to set them up for focusing on the right things for the in-between season?
Well, I think it's very important in the first year to 3 years that a leader invest in the lives of his leadership and the people of his church. He needs to hang with them. I talk to a lot of pastors who enter into various new ministries, and they'll call me and they'll say, what would you do if you had this to do again? Well, I said, I think I know what I would do. I don't care if the church is healthy or if it's unhealthy, or it's mediocre. I would create as a pastor what I would call a listening session all throughout that church, with smaller groups, not with everybody at one time, but age groups. If it's a church that might touch a couple hundred, or if it's a ministry of some kind that is smaller, or one that is larger, you need to understand where you are in order to know where to go. And what I have been able to learn is, and I think most leaders can learn this, they're going to have to learn if they're going to be effective, and that is, I can't lead people anywhere if I'm not willing to listen to anyone. And a lot of leaders are not very teachable. I think one of the most important things as a leader is to have a listening ear and to learn to be teachable. It doesn't matter whether the person is negative or positive. God wants to use that person in your life to help you be a better leader. And that is really critical, because when you listen, then you're able to begin to chart a strategy that's not about you, but it's about the future of the church. And oftentimes it really does become about that leader and his personality. But I would say to everyone today that's listening that it doesn't matter what the ministry might be and what your role might be, if it begins and stays with your personality, sooner or later, your personalities are going to become an issue. You need to put it on the main thing, upon the strategy of the ministry, and let that strategy see you through and see you forward for years to come, if God so wills for you to be there.
That's so good. And just to throw the disclaimer out there for everyone listening in, the understanding already is that all of it is built on Christ and Jesus alone. This is a leadership conversation. This is a strategy conversation that we are coming, you know, obviously the foundation is on Christ. So just that there's probably some people out there being super spiritual right now. No, the foundation is on Jesus. That is the understanding, right? Yes. So let me talk a little bit about another season. You've got discouraging seasons, and you've got seasons where everything you touch turns to gold. I mean, it's like you literally can sneeze and you'll get 80% people show up at an event. Mm-hmm. So there's discouragement seasons and momentum seasons. How do we navigate both of those different spectrums?
Well, discouragement is one of the most difficult things to work through as a pastor. I have had discouragement in every church that I have ever served. I've had discouragement here during the midst of my opportunity to serve this church for 30 years. And those times come. Mm-hmm. But I've also had those moments, Chris, where, I mean, the glory of God fell. Great things happened, and they just continued to happen. Or a new campus was begun, or a new ministry got you into a new opportunity like never before. And it was really influential in the ministry. And, you know, those times are wonderful times. But just like in your own personal life, every day is not wonderful. It's you learning how to respond to what happens to you every day. And as a pastor, oftentimes, or as a ministry leader, we get our eyes on other people, and all of a sudden, we let their negativity affect us. And we can't do that. We've got to be above that. I'm reminded of what Nehemiah told those who came after him. And what did he say? He said, you know what? My work on this wall is far more important than coming down and listening to you. Because all they had done was negative, 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 negative. And, you know, sooner or later, you got to say, okay, this is about the work of the Lord, and I am going to do what God is leading me to do. And I really think, too, going back to the strategy discussion, Chris, if we have a strategy that is good and it's right and it's built upon the Bible, which makes it good and authoritative if it's built upon the Word, when we have that built on there, we're not going to be as prone to being discouraged, because we become discouraged when we think that the discussion is turned against us, or I take a personal offense because my attendance is down. Lord, help us. If I felt that way today, like I felt back when I first started ministry, I couldn't handle the ministry, because people are coming to church less frequently. We know that that is a statistic that is undeniable. We know that things have changed in the culture dramatically. Does that make it easy? No. Does it make it right? Absolutely not. Then we have to create a culture where health exists, and there's an avenue for people to walk in to be healthy. But I think it's just really challenging to be able to navigate through the great times as well as the discouraging times. Because when we're discouraged sometimes, sooner or later, somebody will tell us, hey, buddy, it's time to pull out the bootstraps, get over it. Or God takes you to the woodshed one morning when you're meeting with him, and he says, listen, come on, let's roll, man. We got bigger things to do. That's one discussion. But I tell you, the most challenging discussion is when it's all great and when it's all successful, because that's when we think we stand and all of a sudden we fall flat on our face. It's exactly those moments when it's become so much about us. It's about a pride factor. And if we want the Lord on our ministry, then pride, I mean, God just doesn't look at pride well. He doesn't share his glory with anyone. And so those fruitful moments are wonderful, but be sure you pass on the credit where the credit is due. It's not near as much about us sometimes as we really think it might be or others might tell us it is. Hey, Chris, one thing I've come to is this. If I believe everything good somebody says about me, then that means I got to believe everything bad everybody says about me. I'm not about to do that. I'm going to be present where I am, and I'm going to give God my all in doing what I do. And you know what? The results are not on me, and I refuse to bear that burden.
Yeah, no, that's good. I've heard it said the biggest obstacle to future success is your present success.
Yes, that's right.
And just start to believe your own press. And
absolutely.
Get you in
yeah, that's dangerous.
Yeah, it gets you in trouble.
And you know, social networking, Chris, really, really damages that greatly in relationship to a leader, because praise is heaped, but we better be careful because judgment will also be heaped against us at the same time.
Yeah, it's really good. And a great reminder for us on social media. Let's talk about the seasons of expansion versus strengthening our infrastructure. Time of expansion, and there's times of stabilizing. I'm sure you've gone through both those seasons. Tell us what we need to know about those two seasons.
Well, I think when we're about expansion, we have to be very diligent to keep our ear to the ground. Be sure you're in touch with the people, and be sure you're not running ahead of them. Be sure that you're using wisdom. Be sure that the conversations are right, and you better make sure the strategy is right. In those times of infrastructure where you got to go down deep, understand that that's okay. Sometimes when you're growth-oriented, you're not willing to go deep in order to go wider and further later on in your life. And we have to understand that everything is operating a season. What does the scripture tell us? We need to be about praying and sowing and nourishing and reaping. But the ultimate thing, as Paul said, was what? Is that some plant, others water, but it's God who gives the increase. And I've got to be comfortable in my skin enough that if God wants me to be in several months of almost going underneath the surface, Chris, that I'm willing to go underneath the surface, because really, I've got to do what's best for the ministry. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we ask the wrong question as leaders. It's not what's best for us. It's what's best for the church, or what's best for the ministry that I'm leading.
Has there ever been a season in your ministry where you feel like you might have overexpanded during a time where you look back now and it was probably a time where you should have been working on infrastructure?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, when you've been where I am, and the region has grown through the years, with the home of Walmart, J.B. Hunt, Tyson Foods, and the University of Arkansas, plus 1,200 to 1,400 companies that have presence here, from just a few to several hundred to service the Walmart account, and all that's within just all of our campuses. We have five campuses, and as a result of that, boy, you can easily overexpand. And that, and you think, boy, you believe it, man, we're gonna roll, and then all of a sudden the economy goes bad, or all of a sudden one of those companies lays off a large number of people, and all of a sudden your membership is jolted, and everyone becomes a little insecure, and people may hold back about some issues of service, or maybe even generosity, or whatever it may be, and we may have overstepped our reach. And I think that's one of the most difficult things when you're really in the midst of an expansion season, is keeping your grasp of understanding what is right and proper versus what just might be really cool to do. You know, I might want to build a larger worship center, but is that really the best thing for the church? I may want to hire two more staff members to help in a certain area, but is that really best for the church? What happens a year from now? What happens 5 years from now? All those questions have got to be asked, and wisdom is just imperative in the life of the leader.
I completely agree. Well, what about when it comes to a leader, and this could be lead pastor or it could be another role, there's a time for like super engagement, and then a time where you need a little bit of distance operationally. So you're going to dive in and maybe it's control, a little bit more control, and then a time of decentralization and giving everybody a little bit of autonomy. This could be campus pastors, it could be ministry directors, but The overall idea of super engagement and then distancing yourself to let the team lead.
I think part of that super engagement has to do with really getting after your DNA, really, really nourishing what you're about as a church, your missional vision, the things that you value, the things that you're going to take the time to measure whether or not you're really successful in what you're doing. And then when you have your marching orders and you understand what those matters are, and then it's time to free up as a leader and let people go do, because they're more equipped to do what needs to be done. And here's the thing I've also found, Chris, is that if we want to control everything, great leaders are not going to want to be in part of our team. And at the same time, as the head leader, we got to make sure that those people, even if they have credentials from a school or they have credentials from another church, doesn't necessarily automatically give them credentials to serve in our church, because we are who we are. And I think in ministry sometimes we far underestimate the value and the importance of contextualization. A person can be successful, for example, let's say they're successful in the city of Nashville, or they're successful in Orlando, but will they be successful in Bentonville, Arkansas? Will they be successful in Waco, Texas, or wherever they're serving? I mean, we have to keep our equilibrium at that. Just because a guy is a bonanza one place doesn't mean he's going to be that again, because God endows us and gives us the giftedness and the power to do ministry, and usually in a specific locale, unless he's breathed upon us a wider, larger vision that makes us be able to travel around and do things that can be seemingly proper all the time. But they had always better be proper at home, or you don't have any business being on the road.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. And actually, that brings me to another season. There's season, obviously, throughout your journey, you've lived the seasons of having toddlers at home in ministry, elementary age kids at home in ministry, teenagers, there's seasons for all this, college age kids, and then the beautiful, which I've heard, the empty nest. Tell me about those seasons. How do we navigate? All of us are out, you know, thousands and thousands of leaders listening in. How do we navigate through those different seasons, and what would you do differently going back, and what did you do well?
Well, I would say, first of all, enjoy every one of those seasons. They all represent an opportunity God's given you with your family, with your kids, with your wife, with your church. I mean, you know what? When you have kids that are in preschool, and you're packing those kids down there, your wife is, and all of a sudden some worker or some room's not what it ought to be, you're going to know about that because it concerns you. It's totally different when you don't have any children in the preschool department. It's amazing. When I look back at our ministry here, it seems like every time I had children in a certain area, there were certain things that happened in that ministry that moved it further down the track, made it a little bit better, all because not only my eyes were on there, but a lot of my staff members at that time might have been my age also. And we all had those kids. And guess what? It matters then. Well, it matters all the time. Right. Everybody knows that. But you just don't, you know, out of sight is out of mind. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, last week I went and had lunch with one of our student pastors in one of our most thriving ministries in the church. And you know what? Today he sent me a wrap-up email, some vision moments that we had at that luncheon last Wednesday night. I spoke to about 700, 800 college students at our Fayetteville campus in our weekly worship service there on Wednesday nights. And you know what? I'm more aware, and I see things differently. Things look differently. You can only be where you are. The same thing is true about ministry seasons. It's the same thing true about your children and growing and all that. What did I do well? I think I did fine with my children. They both love the Lord. They both serve the Lord. They're both committed to the Lord. They're raising their children to do the very same. You know, when it was important to them, it became important to me. I never sacrificed my family on the altar of ministry success. I refuse to do that, and I'm not crazy in doing that, and I'm not out of balance in doing that, because you got to work, and I'm a very committed guy to a work ethic. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, if my son's got to be somewhere one night, you know, and I could be at everybody else's stuff, I ought to try to be at my son's thing. And so it's important that I get that. But it's not just important about some game they're playing, or if you have a little girl, some practice she has. It's about also being there for them in those spiritual moments, those spiritual times. It's about categorizing in certain days or weeks in your life that you're going to have vacation time, and no one's going to violate that, and you're going to take your kids away. We used to go away during spring break to Colorado and go skiing, I don't know, maybe 15-plus years in a row. We still miss that moment of doing that, and or in the summer at the beach, which we all love to do, and we still do that. And so the point is that it's really a time you just need to enjoy the journey. When my sons left for college, they were ages apart, just 2 or 3 years apart. Listen, I wept when they both left, and you know, my wife, she was pretty good overall. It took me a couple of weeks, but hey, it's awesome. And I love my kids, but I'm not sure I'd want to move back in with me unless they had a major issue. You know, I mean, life is good. And so we've enjoyed every season. And I'll tell you one of the real keys to that, Chris, a pastor or a ministry leader better know his wife, and he better love being with his wife. He better like his wife, and he better love her. Because you know what? Those kids are one day going to go away. It's all transient, and you're going to be left with mama. You're going to be left with the woman that you said 20 years ago or 25 years ago or whatever years it was that you loved her and you wanted her to live her entire life with you. And guess what? She's going to go through changes. She's going to go through changes in her life, in her body, in her look. We're going to go through changes in our life, our body, our look, and guess what? If we are in love, it's still beautiful, it's still powerful, and it all gets better. It's not dialing back for Gina Floyd and me. It's dialing forward.
I love it.
We are very, very committed to each other and very committed to ourselves, and we enjoy being with each other, quite honestly, more than we enjoy being with anybody else.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Oh, another tension that I've felt over the years has been, kind of visualize this with me, but I'm standing in the middle of an intersection, and there's four different directions to go. And there is discipleship, there is evangelism, there's community, like developing community at the church, and then there's outreach, being the hands and feet of Jesus internationally and domestically. And I felt like during seasons, if I was heavily into the evangelism, I felt like I wasn't doing well in the other three areas. And if I was doing a lot with discipleship, I felt like I wasn't doing much in the other three areas. Now, I know idealistically we're working on all four of them perfectly at the same time.
Right.
It just doesn't work out that way. So how do we navigate these seasons and the whole pendulum that's shifting four different directions at any time?
Always make sure what you're doing is built upon the Word of God. Always make sure that in your time with the Lord every day, that you are really putting it before the Lord and you're asking Him for specific direction, not just for your church, but for your own life. Oftentimes, Chris, God does through the church what He's doing in you. And the church follows what the Lord is doing and working in your life. If you are passionate about something as a pastor, you're going to run to that. Here's an interesting thought of leading people all these years, Chris. I never have to ever wonder about one of my staff members fulfilling their passion. They're going to fulfill their passion, trust me. But here's what I have to worry about them. Will they fulfill the priority of Jesus? Will they make disciples of all the nations? Will they really be committed to the opportunity of giving people always a chance to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and courting them through that and then nurturing them after they come to the Lord? When a community is out there in relationship to the community of the body, and the church is very committed, for example, to small groups, is that guy committed to small groups? Or if we're out here doing something in the community, he's not big-dogging it in his office and telling everybody else they ought to do it, but he's willing to roll his own sleeves up and get out here and lead by example. And all of those things are a constant tension in your life. And I tell you what, they never end. It doesn't matter how long. I think sometimes we're deceived. We think if we have been somewhere long enough, we're going to figure it out. I can tell you, and everybody needs to hear me, I've been in the same church 30 years. I never intended to stay 30 years. I was just trying to be obedient to God. I'm from Texas. What am I doing in Arkansas? I never knew other than God called me here. And what I have learned all these years has so helped me, because it's a lot easier to leave somewhere than it is to stay and to grow. And after all these years, the church is still flourishing, and the church is still going forward. That's not a mark of me. It's a relationship between a pastor and his people, and that is so critical in the life of any relationship. Many churches suffer because they don't have a relationship together with their pastor, and that's just so critical. And so that pastor, when he's at that intersection, what does God want me to do? What is the agenda for this moment? And whatever I'm doing, and whatever it's supposed to be, I need to do it. You know, one of the great principles of leadership I've learned in recent years is this: be present where you are. Be present where you are. A lot of people are present physically, but they're not present when they are literally in a place. Their mind is somewhere else. They're not fully engaged. It'd be like me talking to you, and all of a sudden I'm checking text messages or I'm checking an email. No, I've got to be present where I am. I'm with Chris right now. We're having a dialogue right now, and that is the most important thing God has on my agenda at this moment. And so being present where we are is critical for the life of a leader, so that when he's at that intersection and God leads him, it doesn't matter where it is, he's fine with any one of those four. It's all a matter of where God has him at that moment and where God has the church at that moment.
That's so good. I know, just looking back to my, you know, not 40 plus years, but just 10 years, I noticed that my passion for one of those four directions, maybe it be community or maybe outreach, the best way to get passionate about those things is to roll up the sleeves, get involved, touch some real pain in that area.
Absolutely.
And then that stirs up the passion in that area. So great, great word there. Now, you wrote an incredible book years ago called 10 Things Every Minister Needs to Know. And that book comes to mind because you just got this mentor type demeanor about you. And I love hearing you just kind of pastor us. I love all 10 things that you listed in the book. I think you wrote it all the way back in like 2006 or something. If you had to give us one thing, you know this audience well, you know this podcast well, you know kind of who's listening in.
Sure.
If you had to pick one of those 10 things, what would you tell us?
Oh my, one of 10 is not easy. can I pick two of 10?
Yeah, go ahead.
I would say the first one and the most important one is always the power of 1 hour, and that is giving your first hour of the day to the Lord, period. Giving God the first part of your day will change your life and change your ministry.
It's like it's biblical or something.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, Chris, if the Bible tells us right, and the Bible's always right, so it is. And so when the Bible tells us even Jesus got up before the break of the day, he went out into a lonely place, a solitary place. What did he do? Talk with the Father. If the Son of God needed to allocate times and moments in his life to talk with the Father, who in the world are we not to prioritize our personal communion and fellowship with the Father?
That's right.
When you look at leadership and you look at the real heart of leadership, the practical side, I think the greatest leadership lesson I've ever learned in my life is this lesson. In fact, in the very book that you're talking about today that we wrote a few years ago, it's that sixth leadership lesson. Not every hill is worth dying on.
Oh my goodness, that's so good.
There is no telling how effective my church would be if I would have pastored my church my first 5 or 10 years here like I pastor it today. Because back then, every hill, if I had to go to the hill, yes. Hey, buddy, I'll go to the hill with you. You know, if a bully needs to be beat up, okay, I'm the guy assigned. No. You know, you give God time, and you decide what hills are really worth dying for. Hills like morality and biblical authority, absolutely. Anytime, anywhere, I'll go to that hill. Matters of relationship to social and moral issues that all of us would hold dear as evangelical believers, absolutely, I would do that. But you and I both know there are tertiary issues that they really don't matter. There are those issues in relationship to leadership, the practical side of a church, the practical side of a ministry. Well, this has to be done like this. No, it does not. And here's one thing that I've also learned, Chris, is that many ministers, they forfeit their vision because they are not willing to negotiate the details of the vision that really don't matter at all. Hmm. Is my vision about the details, or is it about the ultimate vision?
So good.
And you know what? Leading a lot of different things, not just in my church, but you know, I've led through the years in the denomination of which I'm a part, the Southern Baptist Convention. I led the Great Commission Resurgence, 21 strong men and women, some of our very best leaders for a solid year, about how we could allocate more money, more resources, more missionaries for the Great Commission. And I learned there, man, listen to people, learn from people. I learned the importance of that very thing I just said, is that don't make it about the details. Keep the vision high. People will run to what's high, and you have to trust the Lord in some of those details. And being president of the Southern Baptist Convention for the last 2 years, ending up in June last year, and you know what? If you're going to lead something large, and if you want to move masses of people,
then you've got to keep it about the main part of your vision. You cannot get down in the weeds. And where does the enemy want us? He wants us in the weeds. Where do detractors want us? They want us chasing after something in the weeds. We're not there to be in the weeds. We got to lead high. And big leaders know how to lead big, and they rally people to a better future.
That's so good. Folks, we're talking about seasons in ministry with Ronnie Floyd, and those two things just mentioned, the power of the first hour, and we don't have to die on every hill, are things that we should apply in every season. Such good wisdom. Pastor, thank you so much. Really, really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Chris, and I really thank you for your investment in leaders, and I really want you to come on my podcast, because we just started a brand new podcast called Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership, and I hope to one day soon to have you on.
Well, I would love to. I would love that. Hey, before you go, can you pray for our listeners?
It would be a joy. Father, I thank you so much for every man, every woman who has listened today. And wherever they are, whatever season they're in, may they stop today and thank you for where they are. And God, I pray that whatever season you're in, would you speak to them about where they are? And God, I pray that you will raise them up and move them where you want them to be in that season, so that we can be more effective in making disciples of all the nations to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, how do you not have a leader like that pray for us before he signs off? What great insight from Pastor Ronnie Floyd. If you'd like to connect more with Ronnie, be sure to visit ronniefloyd.com. And that's where you can find out more information about his ministry, including his 20 incredible books, and of course, his fantastic podcast. Well, for those of you who are new to this podcast, I do want to point you towards some free resources. Those of you who have been listening here are aware, but you may not be. I encourage you to look back at the past episodes on this podcast. There's some incredible interviews there for you to obviously learn from. And I may be biased in my particular position on this podcast, but there isn't one bad episode. So choose the guests that really resonate with you the most. I'm not going to rattle off all of them, but there are some female voices in there, like Lisa Turkhurst and Christine Kane. There's some secular leadership voices in there, like Henry Cloud and Patrick Lencioni and Seth Godin. There's some athletes in there, like Tim Tebow. Some Christian business leaders in there, like Hobby Lobby's Steve Green, and of course, Ramsey Solutions' Dave Ramsey. And there's obviously many extremely respected pastoral voices as well. So check it out. I know you won't be disappointed. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, man, subscribe. If you haven't written a review yet, please do that as well. It's the number one way to support the time and the energy that goes into bringing these voices to your ears. And if you have been listening and haven't missed an episode, you know that over the last several episodes, we've been talking about an upcoming stewardship conference. For 5 or 6 episodes, we've at least mentioned it all the way coming up to May 2nd. Well, obviously, May 2nd has passed, and I just want to give you an update. That conference was really amazing, a special time. Of course, Dave Ramsey and Louis Giglio, Randy Bazette, Josh Surratt, Donald Miller, they all did their thing and rocked it. But from breakouts to the Mac Powell and All Sons and Daughters concerts to the roundtables, I know you'll celebrate with us that this movement of reclaiming true biblical stewardship in America, it just really went to another level. So I wanted to update you with that. It was a great time, and many returned back to their communities on fire to take people from being owners of all that they've been entrusted with to being managers, to really get that at a heart level, which, well, you know, it changes the way they view their lives and ultimately the way that they lead and the way that they live their lives. Now, if you happen to be interested in learning more about biblical stewardship, we've created an awesome resource called 5 Ways
a stewardship ministry will transform your church. Five ways a stewardship ministry will transform your church. It's a free PDF, and it'll show you the practical ways that a stewardship ministry will have a huge impact on the people in your church and an impact on the church operationally as well. So to get your free PDF, it's very simple. Just text the word stewardship to 77948. And what we'll do is we'll send you a link that you can download. Again, that's stewardship to 77948. And we hope you'll find that resource encouraging and very helpful. Well, folks, that's a wrap on this edition of the Leadership Momentum Podcast. Hey, be on the lookout about mid-month for the next episode where we discuss the topic, the right and wrong way to fire staff or a volunteer. The right and wrong way to fire staff or a volunteer. Can we even do that as Christians? What does that even look like? Again, that comes out mid-month, so don't miss it. Make sure to subscribe today. Y'all, it has been a pleasure. Please know that I am praying for you and your ministry, and if there's any way specifically that I can serve you or that we as an organization can serve you, please let me know by emailing me at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. God bless y'all.
Thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. If you'd like to learn how other leaders are reclaiming biblical stewardship, head over to stewardshipcentral.org. Loved what you heard today and didn't want to miss another episode? Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. While you're there, share your feedback by leaving a review. Finally, stay up to date with Chris Brown, including his podcast, Chris Brown's True Stewardship, on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram by following @ChrisBrownOnAir. On behalf of your host, Chris Brown, and the team at Ramsey Solutions, thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast.